Her parents graduated our school and are missionaries on the field, and daughter back here in the college, and we appreciate that good message and song. Thank God the last blood the Lord will ever need's already been provided. Amen. Okay, I'll get the furnishings rearranged here. We'll be all right. They do this every week, but they don't get it right but once in a while. All right. Open your Bible to the book of James. Book of James for just a little bit tonight. Just a little Bible study. We'll read a verse that you're familiar with in chapter 1 of the book of James. And then we'll go over to chapter 3 and maybe read some you're not quite that familiar with. Getting on over toward the end of the book when you get to the New Testament, to James, before you get to 1st and 2nd Peter. And James is a very practical book. It basically says that you can show your faith by your works. If you don't have works to show it, people won't see it. Amen. Chapter 1 of the book of James says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, the truth is, that's a pretty big crowd of us. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Probably of all statements I've made to the Lord in 48 years of pastoring, I've probably asked him for wisdom more than anything else. And and I've needed it. I have needed it more than anything else. If you were to go back in the Old Testament and pick up Solomon's dedication of the temple, you remember that? And how the Lord praised him, because when he prayed, Solomon asked for wisdom to lead the people. He didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for wealth. God gave him all that anyway. But God was pleased that he asked for wisdom and that he could guide and lead the people in the great place of responsibility that he was. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on the thought of wisdom, and in a little sense, I'll show it to you here in the scripture. I want to talk to you a little bit about comparative wisdom. I think about the young men sitting on the, I'll dedicate this to Brother Gentry, sitting on the bench waiting on the bus to come. Now, there was several in the crowd, and little community where everybody pretty much knew everybody. And so two boys sitting on the bench, one of them was known around town as being a real dumb wit. Just, you know, didn't paddle with both oars. Elevator didn't go to the top. Everybody knew that. There's always some around. And everybody knew that about him. Known as kind of a dumb wit. But the other guy sitting there was known somewhat as Mr. Slick. Very sharp. Very smart. Very intellectual. And so in front of the crowd, the intellectual boy thought he'd have some fun. So he said to the dumb wit, he said, I'm a little bit bored here. We got time on our hands. Let's play some games. So the boy said, okay, what? He said, well, said, let's play some riddles. And he said, if you make a riddle and I can't answer it, I'll give you $1. And if I make a riddle and you can't answer it, you give me $1. The dumb wit said, that's not fair, really, because he said, everybody knows I'm dumber than you. Everybody knows how smart you are. He said, I tell you what, I'll play the game if every time I make a riddle and you can't answer it, you give me $1. And every time that I can't answer it, I give you 50 cents. So that'd be because of the difference of our IQ, our level. So the intellectual boy said, fine. Said, okay, you go first. So the dumb wit boy said, what is it that has six legs up in the air and walks on six legs and has eyes in the back of his head. Well, the smart boy thought. Finally, he said, I don't know. Here's your dollar. What is it? Dumb-witted boy said, I don't know either. Here's your 50 cents. Now, that's what you call, somebody might say, comparative wisdom. It wasn't as dumb-witted as he thought, was he? I want you to look in chapter 3 now. We read in chapter 1, verse 5, where God makes us a promise to ask for wisdom, that he'll give it. But then we have the word show up again here in chapter 3. I'm going to kind of jump into it in about verse 13 of James chapter 3. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Question. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, you know in the Bible, the word conversation can mean more than just words. It can mean conduct, lifestyle almost. So it says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But, now when we see the word but in the Bible, remember this, Bible students, it's saying we just stated a truth. Now we're going to state the opposite of that truth. We're going to cross the street and we're going to flip the coin. We're going to put the shoe on the other foot. So he says here, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, if you've got that kind with bitter envying and strife, so don't glory about it. Don't lie against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and the last word is devilish. So in a sense, he's talking about a wisdom that doesn't come down from God like we read in chapter 1. He's talking about a wisdom that comes up from the bottom. Right. Devilish. The wrong kind. So we got a little bit of a comparison here as we look in a few verses here and comparing it a little bit. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. We got a lot of confusion in the political race today and all this business. I like to watch some of it, but it gets old after a while. And I hope when it's all said and done, by the grace of God, there's several good ones that I'd like to see, or out of the bunch, they seem to be the best. And I'm going to be honest with you. You just leave the church over it if you want to, but I kind of enjoyed seeing Hillary lose. Yeah. Couldn't help but do that. Amen. A lot of you folks don't know how bad it's going to be if she's able to get in there and continue some policies that we are hoping can be stopped. But anyway, I'm going to get off on that. Anyway, comparing the wisdom here, he said there's some that's devilish, that's coming up from the bottom. It involves envying and strife and confusion and every evil work. Then you come to the word but again in verse 17, if you look at it. Again, we're crossing the street. Again, we're looking at the opposite of what's been stated. So it says in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above. Now, there's our comparison. Some of it's coming up from the bottom. That's one type of wisdom. Here's another wisdom that is from above. Look at what it says about it in verse 17. It's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, that's the kind of wisdom we ought to ask God to give us. And it's the kind of wisdom we ought to demonstrate by these very attributes that are listed right here in the verse. The truth is, if we listen to the Holy Spirit in our heart, somebody don't have to tell us we're wrong. He does. Our problem is we don't listen to him. I find oftentimes with people that want to come counsel with me about this, that, or the other, they already got their mind made up before they come to me. And I may can help them, but not if they don't want to listen. And I find it often they don't want to listen if it's not what they don't want to hear. So that's already preconceived. Now, wisdom that is pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, all this that he's describing right here is where we'll take it from God, whether we feel good about it or whether it's what we wanted to do or not. I hate to say it, folks, but we're all made out of the same mud. We all got our prejudices and biases. And if we're not careful, we'll all justify our position, even when the scripture tells us we're wrong. We'll say, yeah, that's wrong for everybody else but me. I'm special. That's an exception. Yes, God understands, and I've got my reasons, and I've been mistreated here or there. And we all are, as human beings, we want to live somewhat in that way. But real wisdom is listening to God. So you say, well, how do I know the difference in the wisdom from above and the wisdom from the bottom? Well, truthfully, the Holy Spirit will tell you, but the scripture is the measuring rod. It'll tell you the difference. And the question is, will we listen to the Word of God? The Word of God's going to line up with the wisdom that's from above, not from below. And if we're honest enough, we'll let that happen. Now, we can ask all kind of questions about it, but we can know the difference when we measure it by the Word of God. And when we let the Word of God get in us and work on our character, deep in our soul, when we do that, we're getting ourselves lined up with the wisdom from above, with God's wisdom. I didn't say that it always appears to be profitable here and now. It don't. Outsiders would look and they do at us all the time. We that are faithful Christians, they look at us, and I've even... I was up preaching a funeral in Georgia some long time back, and some of my kin folks, they mean well. They've heard about what kind of schedule we keep as a family and busy with the church all the time. A lot of those folks will go to church, but they think it's okay to go to church maybe once a month in the morning somewhere. And so I actually had one of them say to me something like this, pretty much like this: what you're doing, giving this all your time, is it really worth it? Now, to you and I, that's a pretty dumb question. Right. But I was trying to be kind, so I gave an answer something like this. I said, well, yeah, it's worth it now. It's a good life now. But I said, boy, it's sure going to have great dividends in the life to come. Now, they don't quite get that, see. It's all what I feel like doing now. It's all I can grab now. It's all I can keep now. It's what thrills me for today. And they're not got the long view. They're not looking on past. And what they can't understand is they think, if I was doing what you're doing, I'd be so miserable. Well, you probably would. You probably would if you were just doing it in the flesh, just doing it on your own will, just doing it because you felt like you had to. They can't understand I'm doing what I want to do. I'm obeying the Lord, and there's a peace and a victory that comes from that, even in the midst of things sometimes going wrong or hurting. Still, there's a peace that you can't put a price tag on that you have in your heart and in your soul. Now, the question is often asked. Brother Perkins and I was talking in the office a little bit. And the question sometimes looks like, and you've heard me say this, looks like down here that we're losing. to the outside world, it looks like the devil is winning. And in a lot of ways he is, but the game's not over yet. Amen. The score hadn't been finally totaled up. We need to understand that. The psalmist went through all that before you and I did. And if you want to open your Bibles to Psalm 73, I'll jump in it for just a minute. I won't have time to go through it completely, but if you'll mark this Psalm 73, it'll help you with questions like, why does God allow evil? Why does God allow some to seem to get away with it when others don't? Here's a wisdom from above that this psalmist gives us in Psalm 73. And it's just like he wrote it today for his applying it to ourselves. He says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Now that's a positive statement. God is good to Israel. God is good to you and I. God is good to his people. Then he's got that word but that I talked about a while ago. He's fixing to change the opposite thought now across the street. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Boy, isn't that something? That's just like right now talking to us. I almost slipped up. My steps almost slipped. I was envious at the foolish. That's the wisdom from below, not above. When you're looking at others enjoying sin or wrong stuff and you're envious of it, I'd like to do that too. That's not wisdom from above. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there is no bands in their death. Now, what he means by that, no restrictions. But their strength is firm. In other words, I watched them live like the devil and die and seem to be happy when they finished up. Well, that's his observation. He finds out's wrong a little bit later. That's what the devil would paint to you and I. You look at Hollywood and you see all the painted up harlots and all the stuff that goes on, and it's praised, and they give each other awards and they pat each other on the back. And do you ever think about it? I like to see good acting out a story and so forth. But do you ever think about the Hollywood stars? What did they ever really do except play like? As a kid, did you ever say, let's play like this stick is a horse? Or this stick is a rifle? How about you girls with the dolls? Didn't you do some play like stuff? Sure you did. But you know what? Nobody ever gave me an award for playing like. But Hollywood becomes a play-like system. But you and I are dealing with real life when we're serving God. Amen. And you're going to be in a struggle. You're going to have some warfare. There's going to be a lot of things we don't understand, but we trust anyway. But the psalmist said, here, I almost slipped. I was thinking wrong. I was envious at the foolish. And then he says in verse 5, they are not in trouble as other men. They're living like the devil, so to speak, grabbing all the gusto they can, and they seem to be getting by with it. Neither are they plagued like other men. I see some hardworking men, he said, that are living right and being the right kind of husband and daddy, and yet they don't seem to have anything. And this wild crowd out here that paints up and strips off and does all the bad stuff they do, they seem to be really having it all. That's what the psalmist thought. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They are more than the heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters are of a full cup are wrung out to them, and they say, how doth God know? Here's the blasphemy. How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? That's the crowd. Boy, they're putting up billboards along the road now. You see it in the news. Mocking God. How doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? He said, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper. Watch it now. These are the ungodly who prosper. Don't say who suffer in the world. It says who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, watch it now, verse 13. Here's the pity party. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And boy, here's where the gear changes. Here's where the tire meets the road, the next verse. All this, envious at the foolish, wanting what the evil crowd had, envying them and saying, hey, they're enjoying it. And I see others that are working hard and doing right and being suffering. So he's all confused until we get to verse 17. That word until is a very important word in the Bible. Until, that means that time moved. Different scene now. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, we'd call that the house of God today. Call it the church, all right. Then understood I their what? Their end. Boy, get this psalm down. Mark it. You got to see the thing to the end before you can draw a conclusion. Before you can make a decision. Before you can measure the difference in the wisdom from above and the wisdom from below, you better see how both of them turn out. How do they turn out? Well, here it is. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. That means he heard the word of God. And that's why when we read and study the Bible, we're getting answers. We're getting light. We're finding out about how it ends up, not just what it appears like right now, but how it's going to finish. So he said, I understood therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, and they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakeneth, so, Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Lord, it looks like you've been asleep. You're letting them get by with all this, and I was getting envious of them. But all of a sudden, it's like the Lord wakes up and deals with them. Then he says in verse 21, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins, that's my inside, emotions. Here's what he says when he saw what his thinking was. So foolish was I. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. In other words, I didn't understand anything more than the dog out there. I was only observing what I could feel, taste, or touch. And it goes a lot deeper than that. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Now he's on the right side. He's understanding what God's done. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And afterward, so important, folks, afterward, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. And it does with all of us. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Amen. Well, that psalm, only 28 verses. It just comes in and reveals your inner thoughts and your wrong conclusions that come from the wisdom that's from below. And opens it up to where when somebody says to you, like I was mentioning that relative saying to me, you feel sorry for them because they don't understand. They're judging by just what it would feel to them outwardly to have to go to church every Sunday or to dress like a Christian or talk like a Christian or cut out some of the stuff they're doing. That seems like that would hurt so bad. But you and I understand they're on the outside. They don't understand. They don't have the answers. And so when you take this psalm, 73rd psalm, it makes you know the difference when you compare the wisdom from below and the wisdom from above and how they both turn out. If you're serving God and it's tough, don't quit. It'd be a lot tougher without Him. And He's building us up toward the end. And one day, we'll look back and be sorry that we ever griped and had our pity parties and whined around. We'll see the goodness of God on the other side and understand it like we can't understand it now. We have to have it now by faith, believing. The Bible tells us to look not on the things that are seen. That's anything you can touch or see. Look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are what? Temporal. And the things that are not seen are eternal. If you can get a hold of that, it'll help you in the struggle of life of serving the Lord. And when bad things happen to you, even though you're doing right, with the psalmist, say, I haven't seen the end yet. This isn't over yet. And Lord, I'm going to trust you till the end gets here. The comfort we get from understanding the Word of God will help us when it looks like the world around us is falling apart. That's not our world. Amen. Remember reading Pilgrim's Progress? And he had different characters in there. By the way, you ought to read it, not just in the children's book version. You ought to really read it and meditate on it. I believe with all my heart, John Bunyan was inspired of God to write that. And of course, it lays right alongside all the truths in the Bible. But you remember that Bunyan spoke of Mr. Worldly Wise, I believe that was his name. Well, the world does have a lot of wisdom, but it's from below, amen, not from above. And don't kid yourself. There's a lot of folks, worldly folks, can outfox you, more clever than you, trick you, and then do it all with the wisdom from below. But you hang on to that that's above. That's the one that's going to pay off in the end. That's the one that's going to be the winner. Amen? All right, let's stand. Brother Cruz, you want choir practice? All right, getting ready for Sunday. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be Sunday, but it may warm up and we may have a big crowd. Amen? Could be. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the encouragement when we dig into it. And Father, how practical it is day by day in the old struggle of the world and the weakness of the flesh. If we just get in your Word, it'll answer the questions, it'll give us peace, and it'll give us strength to make it right on, seeing that the end is the thing that counts. Bless, Father, the choirs that get ready for Sunday. Give us a good day, Sunday. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.